Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right, here we go. 3, 2.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Friday, the real Friday, January 6th, and today's pod is just the best one yet.
It's a T-boy.
It's a T-boy. Jack, what's our first story for today's pod?
The Lion King musical just had the best week of ticket sales in Broadway history.
So Jack and I are looking at the economics of the musical.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of the musical!
For our second story, craft beer is the only kind of alcohol not growing right now.
Because we're all experiencing a little flavor fatigue.
And our third and final story is Bed Bath & Beyond. The stock plummeted 30% yesterday to under $2 a share.
Yetis, you better use that gift card.
If you got a gift card, I'd use it tomorrow.
You'd probably should have used it already, honestly.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix.
A perfect mix to go into the weekend with.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Except for one thing that happens in Vegas.
The Consumer Electronics Show.
CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. The largest technology event on planet Earth is happening right now.
This is one event where innovators try to one-up each other with products of the future.
This is one event where there are more random gadgets unveiled than a SkyMall magazine.
So Nick and I whipped up the highlights of this year's CES.
We went full Homaker Schlemmer on this thing. All right, the first surprise product over at CES was the anti-snoring pillow.
I'll tell you, I could use this thing. It's a pillow that detects your snoring.
I didn't want to say anything, but I kind of agree. This thing deploys anti-snoring airbags that tip your head until you stop snoring.
Now, we were roommates for like a couple of years. Did I snore back then?
I have no complaints. You were fantastic, but there may have been a little bit of snoring.
Well, this pillow will tip my head so you don't have to.
It's a pillow with a purpose. All right, the second surprise product is the self-driving stroller.
Look, Ma, no hands. This is a ghost rider.
It sounds absolutely terrifying.
But it's a baby mobile that strolls itself.
Basically, this is a Tesla, but for toddlers.
The third highlight of the CES is the pee analyzer.
The pee analyzer. It's a toilet that tests your urine for health issues.
So going to the bathroom is like going to the doctor.
It's basically like you sent your toilet to 7 years of med school.
The Consumer Electronics Show. It's like Toys R Us us for tech nerds.
Tech nerds who will never snore again.
Yetis, let's hit our three stories.
Let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that
50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
For our first story, the booming business of 2023 so far, it's actually the Lion King musical.
So we're looking at the economics of Broadway.
There is only one way you and I can kick off this story.
Push and play.
Come after us, Disney lawyers. Oh, The Lion King. The movie came out in 1994, great year, with James Earl Jones dominating as Mufasa.
Yes, and that's when Nathan Lane taught us what a meerkat was.
Jack, you are not a millennial unless you've had like recurring nightmares about those hyenas.
Ed is such a great hyena.
I gotta be honest, Rafiki, a little scary too sometimes.
I kind of love Rafiki, actually.
He's a great guy, but he's kind of intense.
Well, yet he's the Lion King musical.
The musical
was created a few years later, and it's living on like Elton John.
Get this, between Christmas and New Year's of last year, Broadway had one of its best weeks of ticket sales in the history of live performances.
$50 million of ticket sales.
Hakuna Matata money. That's what we're talking about.
By the way, Broadway draws 14 million people per year.
That's a lot of people.
That's more people than New York City's professional sports teams combined.
Madison Square Garden, how do you like them apples?
Last week, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child passed $2 million for the first time in a week.
Last week, Chicago the Musical had its best week in 26 years.
Last week, Carole King the Musical was crushing it.
Yeah, because baby boomers just apparently love that musical.
But the star over the holidays on Broadway was Simba, Nala, Pumbaa, Timon, and maybe Rafiki too.
The Lion King musical brought in a whopping $4.3 million in just 7 days.
$4.3 million in ticket sales. It's the best week of sales for any show in Broadway history, edging out Hamilton from before the pandemic.
Jack, have you seen this musical, by the way?
No.
Okay. It is like, every single mask in that show is like a life-size Picasso.
I heard humans like are somehow giraffes and going up and down the aisles.
It's an engineering marvel.
Oh,
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
I gotta see this.
But since we can't get tickets right now, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style, and we noticed The Lion King is actually the only publicly traded Broadway show.
That's right. Just like the movie back in 1994, this play is still 100% owned by Disney.
And here's what we find fascinating. Disney has figured out how to scale the musical business model.
Disney has made nearly $2 billion in ticket sales on The Lion King in the 26 years it's been on Broadway.
And that's because The Lion King, unlike any other show, simultaneously plays in 9 different cities at once with 9 different productions.
115,000 people can see this show weekly.
Now we know what you're thinking, Yetis. Yeah, 10 times more people could probably see The Lion King musical if it were streamed on Disney Plus.
But viewers paid 10 times the price to watch it live in theater.
That's what we call the circle of life. The average ticket for last week's The Lion King was $300 on Broadway.
That's why The Lion King is the highest grossing show in Broadway history.
So when you hear these huge numbers, you're probably thinking, Broadway musicals, they must be profit puppies.
False.
Yeah.
Broadway is actually one of the riskiest business ventures we've ever heard of.
So James Earl Jones, what's the takeaway for our buddies over on Broadway?
You can't make a living, but you can make a killing.
Yetis, get this. Only 20% of musicals on Broadway make a profit. It's like one of the riskiest business ventures we've ever seen.
80% fail.
Yeah.
Yes, the ticket revenues are high, but so are the costs of a Broadway production.
According to The Hustle, to launch a musical on Broadway requires, on average, $15 million just in upfront costs.
But unlike other industries, there aren't economies of scale with live theatrical performances.
So the performance doesn't get cheaper the more you perform it. The costs just stay the same.
And if you want to do a second production, you have to pay double the costs. It doesn't scale like tech does.
You've got equipment and marketing and rent you gotta pay. That's over $2 million in operating costs every single
week.
Oh, and if the show can't make $2 million in ticket sales in the first 2 weeks, the show gets canceled.
Yeah, the show does not go on, apparently.
And then, if it gets canceled, you lost that entire $15 million upfront investment.
So the way Jack and I see it, clearly investors do musicals for the passion, because it's actually one of the riskiest ventures we've ever seen.
Simba, someday everything the light touches will be yours.
For our second story, there is one area of alcohol that is not at record highs right now. Craft beer.
Because craft beer's beer gut has become a craft beer glut.
And she sells seashells by the seashore, Jack. Not too shabby. You stuck the landing on that thing, man.
Barely.
Yeah, but it was impressive. Yetis, you are not living in a mid-size American city unless you've got six blocks with craft breweries with six on a block.
You are not a mid-sized American city unless there's some beer fest by the body of water in your town.
Now, here's the thing Jack and I have noticed about craft beer. You don't taste craft beer. You see craft beer coming in the can.
Every can these days, an ironic name, a colorful can, a label that looks like a Nirvana album.
Every craft beer is made with hops, water, and a whole lot of puns.
I was sipping some beer Sharktopus pale ale the other day.
I'm sorry, Jack. Can I interest you in a dystopian Dreamgirl 7% IPA, my friend?
And of course, there's the Mac Daddy quadruple double IPA with extra virgin organic hops and rainwater.
I heard it actually comes with the tears of a dove mixed into the hops, Jack. But Yetis, despite all that, according to the Wall Street Journal, craft beer is the one area of alcohol not living its best life right now.
Champagne?
Yes, record highs.
Spirits?
Record highs.
The espresso martini?
Record highs.
And yet, craft beer sales, maybe because of that, craft beer sales fell by 5% last year.
In fact, besties, 2023 is expected to see the smallest number of new craft breweries in a decade.
The reason? I think we've all felt it.
Yeah.
It's flavor fatigue.
It's flavor fatigue. You might be tired of the heavy hoppy beer flavors out there. You're facing flavor fatigue.
Yetis, half of all craft beer is a pretty heavy IPA.
Yeah, we're talking 6 to 8% alcohol. It's like drinking a loaf of bread.
Consumers are trending to lower or sometimes no alcohol drinks, and yet craft is still as thick as a lumberjack's beard.
As a result, craft brewers are now racing to keep customers happy by offering light lagers and pilsners.
Some are even committing blasphemy, whipping up their own version of like a Bud Light 3%, 4% alcohol.
But it may be too little too late because craft beer is struggling with IPA flavor fatigue.
But there's another issue facing craft brewers right now.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the craft beer industry?
Craft beer is facing some frothiness.
Some frothiness. Yetis, the favorite venture capital term for when there's too much action going on, but not enough substance. Frothy.
Crypto was considered frothy for a couple years. Too many firms jumped in, not enough quality in those firms.
Now, craft beer is kind of facing the same situation. For 10 years, craft beer experienced double-digit brewery growth.
Big growth in sales.
Yeah.
Low barriers to entry. A lot of entrepreneurs launched craft breweries.
As a result, we may have too many craft breweries. There are actually 9,500 craft breweries in the United States.
Now, Nick and I love craft breweries.
We love craft breweries.
When Nick comes and visits me in Vermont, all we do is craft breweries.
Jack, my mother is a craft brewery.
But we do kind of agree that there may be a beer glut thanks to so many craft beers right now.
There's an overwhelming number of IPA choices that's confusing consumers and lowering the taste bar.
Craft beer has given itself a bit of a beer glut.
Craft beer has gotten a little bit too frothy.
Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
A lot of Yetis don't realize how much prep work goes into this pod.
We spend hours every morning jumping in T-boy style to earnings reports, CEO tweets, breaking news headlines.
Yeah, Jack and I are toggling tabs like you toggled IM convos in 2004.
Having 8 tabs open can be stressful. You don't need that, especially when investing.
Robinhood offers it all in one app.
Whether you want to trade options, ETFs, or stocks through Robinhood Financial,
or you want to buy some Bitcoin on Robinhood Crypto,
you can do it all on the Robinhood app.
If you're not investing in Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBOY and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Limitations apply.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood.
For our third and final story of the week, Bed Bath & Beyond just warned us they may go bankrupt.
We're going to break down exactly how bankruptcy sends a stock price down to $0.
And we're going to do it with a Cuisinart.
Yes, we are.
Yetis, Bed Bath & Beyond. Honestly, it's the place you brought your first comforter, you bought your first duvet. It's where you got that shower caddy for your dorm room.
Yeah, Nick and I both did it before college, and then I started snoring, and he started walking around in his boxers.
It was no judgments, and I'm totally fine with it. I actually think he hit a very nice cadence on that snore.
Thank you. But thanks to Amazon and a bunch of years of poor management, Bed Bath & Beyond peaked when Nick and I were in college.
Well, yesterday, the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond warned that they may be beyond all hope. Emphasis on the beyond.
Yes, they may add another B to their name, and that B
as in
bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy. Because Bed Bath & Beyond owes more than it owns.
So that's when Nick and I jumped in T-Boy style to the balance sheet of Bed Bath & Beyond.
Jag and I took a little stroll through aisle 6 at Bed Bath & Beyond, and we were curious, what does Bed Bath & Beyond owe, and what does it own?
First, what Bed Bath & Beyond, the corporation, owns are its assets.
Yeah, and their biggest asset is their unsold merchandise, like their loofahs. Jack, have you seen how many loofahs they have? They have so many loofahs.
All the stuff on their shelves is their biggest asset. After that, Bed Bath & Beyond owns some property, some equipment, and the Bed Bath & Beyond brand name.
Yeah, and then it owns more loofahs. Like, there were more loofahs in the back over here. I got loofahs over here, Jack.
Now, here's the problem for Bed Bath & Beyond. It owes other people much more than it owns.
It owes other people a lot more than it owns.
First, it owes its suppliers $783 million.
Like the company that made that shower caddy, because they haven't paid them yet.
Next, Bed Bath & Beyond has $328 million of gift card liability.
Because that gift card that your cousin gave you for Christmas is just sitting in your room right now and hasn't been redeemed yet.
All those unredeemed gift cards are a liability to Bed Bath & Beyond.
And then worst of all, Bed Bath & Beyond has almost $2 billion in long-term debt coming due very soon.
That is one big old bathtub of IOUs.
The situation is so bad at Bed Bath & Beyond that Cuisinart has stopped supplying them with Cuisinarts.
Cuisinart's afraid they won't get paid by Bed Bath & Beyond. They're afraid they'll get stiffed.
So when you add all that up, Bed Bath & Beyond actually has negative net worth.
It owes $580 million more than it owns.
And that's a mess that no amount of loofahs can clean up. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Bed Bath & Beyond?
When a company goes bankrupt, you are last in line.
Yetis, if Bed Bath & Beyond goes bankrupt, then the bankruptcy judge may order a sale of all those assets we just mentioned.
It'll raise a bunch of cash, and that cash will be paid back to the people Bed Bath & Beyond owes, but in a specific order.
Right, because first, Bed Bath & Beyond will pay the lenders, then they'll pay the landlords, then they'll pay the suppliers.
If anything is left over, they give money to who's at the end of the line.
And Jack, who's at the end of the line?
Shareholders, people who own the stock.
Yeah, when a company goes bankrupt, besties, shareholders usually get paid nada.
Stock ownership is risky. There's a reward it could grow, but there's the risk it could go to $0.
And that is why Bed Bath & Beyond stock dropped 30% yesterday to just over $1.
Because when a company goes bankrupt, you are last in line.
Jack, can you Hakuna Matata the takeaways for us over there?
It's Hakuna Matata.
My Rafiki is a little rusty.
The Lion King musical just set a weekly ticket sales record for Broadway.
But musicals are actually one of the riskiest ventures in all of media.
For our second story, craft beer sales fell for the first time since Nick and I turned 21.
It's because of craft brews, beer gut, beer glut. It's looking frothy.
And our third and final story, Bed Bath & Beyond just warned they could declare bankruptcy.
And if they declare bankruptcy, shareholders are last in line. Now time for the best fact yet. And for this best fact yet, Jack and I decided to whip up something we've never whipped up before.
Nick and I love trivia.
We appreciate trivia. A, yes, B, no, or C, all of the above.
So we're testing out a weekly quiz based on the week's T-Boy podcasts.
That's right. We're talking five quiz questions from this week's podcast.
We've got a link to the first quiz in today's episode description.
Yeah, so Yetis, you can click the link, take the quiz, go to go.tboypod.com.
Again, the link's in the episode description. It's five questions, 1 minute. We think you'll nail all five questions.
Or just go to go.tboypod.com.
We'd love to know what you think.
And the answer is C, all of the above. Yetis, you looked absolutely fantastic for the first week of 2023. And Jack, I miss your snoring. I miss it. Can you give me one last snore before we head out for the weekend, man?
I'm going to record some audio for a white noise clip for you.
If I don't get a Cookie Crisp or a snore, I'm not going to be happy on Saturday morning, man. Yetis, Jack and I, we'll see you Monday. And before we go, happy birthday to Yeti Sam Eden all the way down in Queensland, Australia.
And happy birthday to A-Rave Maida in San Francisco.
And Sharon Strong, enjoy that birthday over in Austin, Texas.
She's about to hit a half marathon, too.
Not too shabby.
13.2, round up.
And Luis and Myrna Giron, enjoy that family vacation down in Mexico. Looks pretty good.
And one of the coolest things over the holidays, Romy Maples, a big Yeti, made the word T-Boy out of Legos.
Yes.
For his family down in Jacksonville, Florida.
We saw the Legos. They spelled T-Boy, and it was the best one yet.
And to anyone else who's celebrating something today, make it a T-Boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Disney, and Nick and I both own stock of Robinhood.
Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
A lot of you listen to our show while you're driving.
Two hands on the wheel. Keep it 10 and 2.
You might be cruising, Chris. No rush. Stay in the right lane.
Or you might be Darlene from Dunkin', dotting from lane to lane.
Yeah, there are different drivers on the road. There are different investors, too.
Maybe you're cruising down the long-term lane with stock investing, or maybe you're a more advanced full-speed trader.
Well, the Robinhood app helps put you in the driver's seat wherever you're at in your investing journey.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/T-Boy and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/T-B-O-Y. Limitations apply.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned by or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood.
Oh, glad we brought back the college dorm room thing.
It was really good. Did we have a loofah?
I don't think so.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.